Hi.
Hello. I'm Danny.
And I'm James. And welcome back to
Let's Talk.
Oh my gosh. Can you believe it? 12 weeks.
It's been long.
It's been long. Don't say that. It's been a pleasure to do this.
Oh no, it's been a joy. It's simply flown past.
Honestly, I'm not going to lie. Editing some of these, I've been like, oh my gosh, we can talk.
Innit?
Wow. But obviously, we're back with another great week. And this week, of course, me being me, I had to fit it in somewhere. For those of you who do know me, I am a drag queen outside of my acting life. I am Jasmine Sparks.
The effervescent... From the House of Sparks.
From the House of Sparks, darling. Of course. And I couldn't end without inviting someone very special in. She is my sister, the rock to my lobster, the marsh to my mellow, the makeup to my brush. It's Birmingham legend, Alicia Troy.
Hello, campers.
Here she is, the camp queen of chaos herself. I am so glad we've got you here, Alicia.
I'm so excited.
Oh, thank you.
Honestly, when me and Danny were piecing together who we'd like as guests, didn't I say immediately, I was like, Alicia.
Yeah. Straight out of the gate. It was instant. Like, yep, gotta do it.
You were booked before I'd even asked you.
Booked and blessed.
Booked and blessed. Isn't she just... I mean, you'll tell us about that later.
Absolutely.
She is booked, darling. She's there. Introduce yourself anyway. Let us know, who is Alicia Troyd?
So, my name is Alicia Troyd and I am Birmingham's Camp Chaos Queen. I have been doing drag now for about 4 years. Well, officially since the end of 2019. Before then, it was kind of a go to the club in a bit of makeup, you know, the wig, not glued down. I mean, some things don't change, never change.
You and me both, sis.
But yeah, so, you know, I started really taking drag seriously kind of through lockdown. You know, we were going through a bit of a digital drag era.
Oh my gosh, the digital drag era.
The digital drag era. Yep. We all got our GoPros ready. And...
I don't know whether you've seen them, Danny. Those, like, streamer backdrops that you can, like, have sticky tape.
They were out of stock. The queens were buying those. Queens and kings and things. They were buying those in quantities, honestly.
We love it. So you did that, and then what's it been like coming out of the digital age and carving a name for yourself? Because you've had people like, was it Ellie Diamond?
Yes.
Name dropped you?
Yes.
She was like, I'm in Birmingham, guess who I've met?
Yep, so it's been amazing because I kind of used the digital drag to build my confidence, really build my persona and just lean into that. And then getting to kind of unleashed it back onto...
Alicia.
She's so good at branding.
Just getting to put that back in front of an audience that you can bounce off, because that's where I kind of really get my energy from in drag, having that audience participation. So,
and this is why me and Danny thought, because people listening might be going, well, what's drag got to do with the theatre industry and the acting industry? But I mean, Danny, you can speak for yourself. What you can relate to that, surely.
Oh my God, yeah. It was absolutely terrifying going from doing Zoom auditions and everything online to then suddenly being like, fuck, I've got an audience. Like, how on earth am I going to deal with this? Like, or even just an audition, like just getting up in front of people. I mean, socialising was hard enough. You know, dealing with all the people you thought you'd cut out.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting you bring up auditions, because drag, there's not auditions technically how we'd have it. So how did you first get into drag? Because that's so daunting, walking into a club and being like, can I have a gig?
Yes. the way I kind of got my big break, as they say, would be just doing free gigs and just putting yourself out there, putting yourself on the stage. Birmingham has a fantastic opportunity. I'm going to name drop some things now. With a drag competition called Church of Waji, which just ended last week after 5 years. And they really provided that kind of opportunity for new performers to just have a stage. And you have to come ready. You have to come into these platforms with a concept, with the makeup and the wig. So I was spending hundreds of pounds in the beginning, hundreds of pounds, building myself up just to do a 4-minute performance.
It's mad, isn't
that's
it?
Yeah,
that's mental.
They say drag's the most rewarding profession in some respects, but the most costly because, my God, a wig will set you back, if you want a good one, minimum £70.
Yeah, minimum £70. If you want a good styled one and, you know, and you still have to then, once you've worn it, you have to keep it, the maintenance cost.
You know.
We've all sat there with a brush teasing it out, crying into it.
What do absolutely. You guys use? Because I can't find anything to keep my wigs in shape.
Well, Danny, you've come to the right queen.
Absolutely.
I need some recommendations. I need this whole thing, you know.
Beauty influencer.
Absolutely, absolutely. For my wigs, I just shake and hairspray for me. Shake and hairspray. But
quick finger tease.
Exactly, exactly. But I know people who have a whole, it's like a surgery. They pull out these like weapons to tackle those wigs. And
I mean, let's face it, some queens need it.
Yes.
I've seen some ratty wigs out there.
Tease too hard, that's what I say. Tease too hard.
We love it. Tell us a bit more about that first time then. So that first time you got a gig, where was it? Was it Fox?
It wasn't. So before I even started at the Fox, the gig at the Village.
Not oh my God, you gig, started at the Village?
Yeah. This was an unpaid one. So my first paid gig was at the Fox. So I'll kind of go.
These are all bars,
one.
By the way, yes. For anyone who's not from Birmingham.
Yeah. And I remember I did just a straight number, so as they say, a park and bark, where you just stand there and do the number from start to finish. And I did How to Be a Heartbreaker by Marina and the Diamonds.
Of course.
Just Marina now.
Just Marina now.
And I remember having a Primark blouse, Primark skirt, Primark tights, borrowed shoes, borrowed wig, and I just gave it 100%.
The drag queen starter kit, that's it. Primark everything and give it your all.
And I didn't discreetly buy these items. I just full on had them all in a basket and I put them at the cashier and I said, thank you very much. Exchanged some good monies for it and I said, there you go. The cashier was very shocked.
Honestly, very shocked. I've bought, when I was 16, my friend Rachel, God bless her, she's in the House of Sparks, Rachel Sparks, Ray Sparks.
Oh,
you know Ray.
Yes.
So, Ray had a Rocky Horror 16th birthday party. Now, did I go as any of the casually dressed? I mean, can you have casually dressed in Rocky Horror?
No.
Yeah, I'm not sure. No.
No. But I decided to go as a mixture of Rocky and Frankenfurter. So I had gold Kylie hot pants.
Love it.
Oh,
and
my
a corset
God.
And leather boots. But I'm not kidding you. I ordered the boots online because I couldn't stand going into a store and asking at 16.
For some boots, yep.
Oh, my gosh. But I got women's underwear and, like, stripper adverts on email for
years. Yeah.
I thought you meant like you were getting them through your door like an audition.
No, I wish. Can you imagine?
They wanted their shoes back.
We need those back.
Yeah.
I was going to say, bloody rude. How dare they?
Yeah, how dare they?
Do you have any photos that you can share on the socials of this outfit?
Oh my gosh, shall I pull? I think I can pull them out. I'll
yes, please.
Yeah. I wish I had them for you now to have a laugh at, but I don't. But that's, like, I think we can all, even actors, we can all appreciate that first show, that first audition, the nerves going into it. But I think it's so rewarding, isn't it? When you go in and you do your stuff, even for free. And actors have all been there where we've been offered a free or barely
for the exposure.
Exposure. I mean, in the acting industry, that's so frowned upon now.
Yeah.
That, in the drag world, it's still not caught up, has it? Like, it's still not...
Not yet, no. Like, it's definitely now there is more a perception that, you know, the exposure... I mean, in this generation of drag, and I mean, it's not even that long ago, like 5 years.
But 5 years ago!
this generation of drag, you get your exposure from Instagram, you get your exposure from Twitter. You can get exposure as a drag artist now from a big online presence. You don't actually need to... perform to get your name out there now. So venues and bookers and stuff like that now have a challenge to pay their artists, which they should. And I'm glad now that we're getting into this kind of, you know, especially because drag is so expensive, this attitude of paying someone for what they're doing, because they're, at the end of the day, they're entertaining your punters, they're bringing in your bar spends
each week
so you've got to return that.
Let's double forward a little bit. We'll come back and ask you a bit more about yourself in a bit. But what is drag? What is it to you?
I think for me, heavy questions.
I know.
we do this so we can just go off on a tangent, don't we?
Just to make this a bit lighter, right? So I wanted, we've got this weird thing which has evolved of Danny's dictionary. I wanted an actual definition of drag, of like what the Oxford Dictionary or whatever thinks it is. So I googled it and it goes and it goes, number one, pull someone or something along forcefully, roughly, or with difficulty.
Me getting
on, I was
there.
Like, yeah, that's fantastic, great definition there.
Point two.
Point number two, no, it never fully gets to actually what drag is.
That's so interesting.
At all.
I'll throw one in. Apparently, it came from, and this is wrong.
Yes.
Apparently, it came from the Shakespearean setup, because originally in Shakespeare, women wouldn't be allowed to perform. So the men, you'd find the youngest, twinkiest boy to play Juliet. And it stood for dressed as a girl. But apparently that's been debunked. I'm a bit sad because that was my little fact. I used to go around saying, well, actually, darling, it comes from Shakespeare.
And then, back in the globe.
Back in the globe. I'm always trying to link it back to acting. But So I don't actually know. I think I did see a little clip of what it is. But do you know what?
I mean, there's always the philosophical way of saying it. People always say it's all about expression and you know, highlighting those. A lot of people who do drag have either been through, take it deeper, trauma or have been oppressed, and they use this as their way of being able to really put themselves out there.
So true.
But I just believe to be a drag artist is to be an entertainer.
Yeah.
To create a persona that's not like who you are in your day-to-day life.
So true.
And to just amplify that. But then also have elements of you in it, because I feel like it should still be you. You shouldn't pretend to be someone else to be a drag artist. It should just be a really high camp
version of yourself.
Yeah, version of yourself.
Well, that's so interesting, because when I first started, Jasmine was very much a character. I was like, I'm playing Jasmine Sparks.
Yes.
Jasmine's separate from me. When I take the wig off, I'm James again.
Yeah.
And I was really comfortable with that, because in my head I was like, well, I know I'm a boy. I know my pronouns are he, him. I don't know whether it was I don't want to explore it, but I don't feel like I need to.
Yes.
And then, which I'm sure a lot of queens feel like, we all get asked the question, so when are you going to become a real woman?
Yes, exactly. Well,
drag isn't about my sexual identity or my gender identity. It's not about that. It's performance. Sometimes queens are wanting to transition. Sometimes it does fall into that for them, and that's okay. But that wasn't for me. But then as I've performed, like you said, and I've grown, and I've really come into the believing, like you're saying, that we're the same person. It's just a hyper blown out version of myself that
yeah.
James wouldn't walk down the street in a crop top and a pair of heels.
Yeah. You wouldn't take Jasmine to the parents.
Like, no.
Yeah.
Although I have many times, and my favourite thing from coming back from a gig is when I used to live with my parents was going home being this 7-foot drag queen walking in and going, all right, and we all do.
Yeah.
But I don't know about your family, but my family have always been really supportive of my drag. And I think that's a huge thing for queens, that they don't get the support. And it's sometimes you hear the term bedroom queen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's queens who only perform in the bedroom. They put a wig on, they put the mom's heels on while they're not going to get caught. And there's this whole attitude that it must be hidden away.
Yeah.
But I'd argue drag's all about a brown.
A brown?
Oh gosh, she's had a drink, she can't talk. It's all about letting that free, letting yourself go to those extremes.
Absolutely, yeah. And 100%, I'm very lucky as well. Like, my family's always been very inclusive about my artistry and the drag side of things. But there are people who that's their only way to express themselves is through their drag.
Yeah.
They can't do that outside of the bedroom, or, you know, some people just go out in drag because they feel like that's the where they feel most comfortable.
Yeah.
And those are the people who are on their self-discovery journeys. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like now there's just such a scope with drag, and drag has grown from just being an entertainer to being kind of a platform for people. And I think that's really important.
That's so important. And I think on that note, I'll ask you, Danny, because it'll be interesting what your experience with drag is, but why is drag so popular at the moment? Have you got any ideas why it could be popular, Danny?
Because it's freaking fantastic.
There's the truth.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I think it kind of is exactly what you've been saying. Like, it does come from the individual. And so when you see that, like, level of self-expression and that freedom, it's amazing. And you can't take your eyes off it, really. I think it's so captivating and is really powerful.
Yeah.
So I think people just get drawn in by it. And it's a great laugh. It's very entertaining. Like, yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't love it, you know? Yeah,
literally. Have you had chance to see many live shows? I don't think I've ever asked you.
Not that many, like, that aren't at 2 a.m.
Enough said about that.
My quality of remembering them is minimal.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've watched a lot of your videos.
Stop it.
And I do watch a lot online, actually. I watch a lot online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, this is what my point was leading to. I think a massive part of the drag popularity, specifically nowadays, comes from the obvious place of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
And we can't talk drag without talking about RuPaul and the Drag Race phenomenon. No matter what you might think of Ru or the series itself, I don't know about you, we've never actually had the conversation, Alicia, but I think it's definitely going into its phase now of overkill.
Yes.
There's Drag Race Your Living Room, Drag Race Next Door Neighbour, there's Drag Race Down Under's Sisters, Brothers, Mothers, Sisters, Aunt.
It's
very much flogged to death.
Absolutely. There's taking it to the bank, and then there's opening up several mortgages in the bank, and, you know, there's definitely
a couple of offshore accounts in the Cayman Islands.
Absolutely, yeah. Drag Race now has I feel like the base of what Drag Race was built on has lost itself.
Yeah.
And you know, even though we're still having these fantastic opportunities to see these performers and people, I mean, season 4 of Drag Race UK just got announced.
Yes.
And it has Black Pepper, who is a Birmingham icon. You know, now they get to show their drag on the biggest platform you can be as a drag artist.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's fantastic. But I still think the core of what got me into Drag Race was just the kind of the comedy and the humour and the sort of not so much mainstream about it. I do feel like it has kind of changed itself to become a little bit more tangible to a bigger audience. And, you know, that helps. That helps kind of bring drag to people's living rooms.
Yeah, hugely.
But I do think the core of drag and what drag was all about has kind of lost its way a little bit, especially now it's very much televised.
Yeah.
You see them now, drag artists, not just confined to Drag Race now, you'll see them popping up on all sorts of shows and reality TV.
Yeah. Reality TV is a really good thing. We haven't got an episode on reality TV, have we, Danny? We should...
No, you're right, bank that.
She's making notes, darling. Season two.
Absolutely.
Are you coming back for season two?
If I'm invited.
Oh my gosh, she's back. That...
He's already booked you already.
Yeah, that's the written confirmation, that verbal. You can book her. Book Brilliant. Her, we've got her. You're tied in there. We'll sign the contract later.
Yeah.
No, but what was my point? I've lost my point.
Reality TV, darling.
Reality TV, of course. So drag actually is turning into a bit more of a reality thing now.
Because yes.
Let's face it, Drag Race is reality TV. You can spin it however you want, but it is reality. And it's a reality competition. So I think people take it at certain face value and they think that everything's real. And I think they see what the queens do and they see a fraction of what the queens do. They don't see... They might see them putting an outfit together a little bit, but you don't see the fine detail, the hours that goes into it. You don't see them teasing the wig out for as long as they need to. You don't see what goes into that look. And I think people quickly judge. There's a lot of harsh online stuff. And
yes, yeah, the online community, the online presence, the fans, as they say. Yeah. And fans is a question mark.
Yeah.
Some of the comments I see online now.
Disgusting.
Yeah, they definitely forget that although it's the artist that is their persona and, you know, there is still a real person behind the wigs, the makeup.
And they've got to deal with what you're saying to them. And it's the same in the acting world, isn't it? I think me and Danny, we were talking... On our episode, which episode was it where we spoke about musical? Was it? I think it was the musical theatre episode, wasn't it? Remember, we spoke about the horrible Guardian. Was it Guardian review for Legally Blonde?
Oh yeah.
Mm. And they were fat shaming in it. They were being, let's face it, a little bit racist as well. And the artists have got to read that while they're doing their job.
Absolutely, and still continue to
and
do it.
And do it, yeah. Especially if it's at the beginning of a run or the beginning of a residency for a drag queen.
Yeah.
But in terms of online hate, have you ever had to deal with any?
Thankfully not, because I kind of participate in it.
Yeah,
the joke of Alicia Tried is...
She is very good at playing it off.
Yes, exactly. And that was me taking that. Because, you know, I did receive in the beginning a lot of negative comments. And they're really... Just kind of a lot of confusion and not a lot of warmth from my fellow performers in the scene. And I don't know whether that came down to people just not understanding. Mm. People were kind of unsure about what my drag was doing. You know, it's
a bit threatened.
Maybe.
Let's put that out there.
Maybe. you know, and there was just a lot of kind of perception and opinions.
Yeah.
And it took me a while for me to kind of love my drag again. I mean, there was a period in 2020 when I did my first digital drag performances, and I was putting in days and days into this, and I was getting support from my friends at the time who were also putting in days of editing and so much passion and and I was just like, oh my god, this is amazing, I can't wait to do it. And I posted it online and it had about 4 views.
We can relate to that.
Yeah, 100%.
To all the 4 listeners we've got going here.
Yeah.
Hi, Mark.
We love you. But it is, isn't it? I think it's such a... You've got to put your heart and soul into it to be as passionate and good at what you do. But then when it doesn't get the 100,000 recognitions that you see on TikTok, the 100,000 likes and views, and you do feel a bit like... disheartened by it, don't
you? Yeah, and people forget, I think, when they're commenting or when they're, you know, trolling or whatever they're doing, they forget that also you will be looking at that and being critical of yourself. Like, James, we had a conversation the other week where you were saying, was this in voice note? I can't remember. Anyway, it's irrelevant. Sorry. we were having this conversation where you were saying you felt like you were being really hard on yourself. And you were like, oh, I'm just not doing enough for my show. Like, I'm just doing one number. I've not got a wig change. I've not got this. I've not got that. And then you're like, actually, I'm doing a full 3-minute number. Like, that's a lot still. And like all the preparation that goes into that. So I don't know. Yeah. If you both just find that almost the worst critic is yourself, because it is all just created by you.
I mean, I'm sure you feel the same. Who said that quote? I think it was a Lady Bunny quote. Was it Lady Bunny? Who? I can't remember. It was a really famous drag queen. But they were basically like, the gays now literally don't pop off unless there's a wig reveal, a costume change, a death drop, three musical changes during the same number.
Confetti cannons.
Which
I tried.
Now, if you've not seen an Alicia Tried show, you have to, purely for the confetti cannons. They are iconic. They're a legendary moment. And they even, I don't know whether you've noticed this, but in one of my performances, I've been blessed and booked by Alicia few times. She's the queen that gave me my start. She's my drag mommy, really. I should be Jasmine Troyd, but... maybe we rebrand after tonight. But I've performed after you once, and your confetti cannons have gone up into the gods, got trapped in the riggings, and I've whipped off a bit of costume, wafted it around, and actually knocked more confetti down over myself, making my performance better.
Exactly.
So there I like go. To think she's a queen that looks out for other queens.
I do. Yes.
Very altruistic. I love it.
We love Absolutely. It. And welcome to our ever favourite segment. It is.
I wondered what you were going to say then.
Well, I think I lost trail of what I was actually wanting to say myself, but you know what it is by now. It's Let's Talk Videos. Woo. And this week, obviously, we're talking about drag, but I'm going to be greedy, Danny. I've picked two this week. Shock horror.
Oh my god, you're this breaking the rules again.
Don't talk to me about breaking the rules.
Oh, yeah,
Little
no,
Miss picked a voice note on the first week.
Yeah, fair.
But I will cooperate. I will play your video first. So do you want to introduce it or do you want to talk about it after?
I want to talk about it after.
All right.
just to be different, you know.
Just to spice it up a bit. Okay, here we go.
Okay. Yes. I think we're starting at the beginning, yeah. There might be a bit of dead.
Here she comes. Who have we got?
It's, well, I'm not going to spoil it.
CJ Banks. Oh. Love the boot. Oh.
In it. The boots are amazing. It's hilarious. Something's gone wrong. The music cue's not come on. So then she just walks out. She's like, ta-da!
She's there.
And then it does kick in a minute.
Technical difficulties.
Honestly, yeah, technical difficulties.
We're ready.
We're ready.
That's a good drag host.
She's good. Is that a How's Your Head wig?
I don't know.
Oh, I love her energy.
She is brilliant. Like, I'm trying to find the bit. There's a bit right at the end which is just incredible.
Oh my god.
In it.
Go, sis.
High energy.
We love it.
And then now cut to like 4 minutes. Unless you're really enjoying yourselves, in which case, watch on.
I mean, we're having a great time.
Are you there? 4 minutes?
Hang on, I'll take it.
Okay. Take you there now. Oh, 4:25, actually. Let's go there.
Oh my gosh, she's absolutely in demand. We love it. 4:25.
Yeah, 4:25.
Here we go.
I know, what banging song as well.
Oh. Pull it up, sis.
Yeah, pull it up. Pull it up, pull it up.
Oh,
honey.
Oh, yes.
Just into the worm.
So sexy.
Oh, I'm just obsessed.
My spine hurts just looking at her.
Innit? I know. And the end.
Oh,
bang.
Honey, pop off. I love that. So what made you pick that then?
So this is CJ Banks. And I had the pleasure of meeting and working with CJ Banks. So when I was filming like a trailer about for a like a hybrid documentary thing about Mae West, CJ Banks was there and she was being a drag queen that was having fun, like chatting away to Mae West, who I was playing, in a dressing room. And a lot of people don't know about Mae West. She's like a Hollywood actress, amazing lady. But she wrote a play called The Drag and had loads of drag queens in it and was a real champion for drag and all the artistry and drag artists themselves. She sort of surrounded herself with a lot of amazing people. And yeah, CJ and I just did that whole, like did a whole scene together. And she was just amazing. And it just, the whole process of like, I got to watch start to finish her getting ready and then becoming CJ Banks, which was just incredible. And I think she's just brilliant. So yeah.
That's so cool. It is, the amount of people that are interested in watching you get ready. And I don't know, I don't know how Alicia feels, but for me, I'm like, it's like sitting and watching me for 2 hours. Who wants to do that? But people are obsessed.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it gets very frightening. People get very scared. They're like, what are you doing with that brush?
Oh my God. Why is the glue going on your eyebrows? Because I don't want them there, babe.
Yeah, absolutely.
So mad. So mad. Yeah. Well, I love that video, and I'm sure everyone else, you're going to love it when you get a chance to watch it yourself. Links are on our socials as ever. Yep. You can get them now. Bing. My first video then, this is actually, not this performance, but this performer, Sasha Velour. She competed in and won season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race, and she beat out the front runner.
Yes.
Let's face it.
Yeah.
We all watched the season. We all thought Shea Coulee was going to storm it through to the final and win it. And I even saw a leak. I remember seeing a leak before the season aired. And it said Shea was going to win. And I went, okay, here we go. So these were the two first performers to lip sync against each other in the show, in the finale. And I was like, great, so Sasha's out already.
Yeah.
Here she goes. And then the music started. For a Whitney number. And the rest is history. She basically did a wig reveal. Sasha Velour's renowned for being the bald queen.
Yes.
And she pulled off her red wig, which was unusual for her to be wearing during the season. We were like, okay, she's wearing a wig. She's versatile. She removes the wig towards the end of the song and rose petals fell out of it. And the crowd went wild.
Insane.
Like, wild doesn't do it justice. Yeah. They did go insane.
Yeah. It changed. It changed,
the show.
Course of history. It was a cultural reset.
Planets realigned.
They did. And I think, as well, like you said, because Shay was the front runner.
Yeah.
You know, when the Whitney song started, we were just like, okay, you know, this is
her
be,
moment.
Yeah, we did not know Shay as being a lip sync artist, but then that shows the creative mind.
Yeah.
That shows the creative mind behind Sasha.
Yeah.
To just go that extra mile
and storm it.
Yeah.
And for reference, she takes off one glove, some roses fall out. She takes off another glove, some roses fall out, and she finishes with the wig reveal. Not massively, like we were talking earlier, feeling like you need to do loads and loads and loads. It was just so well curated and executed. But anyway, let's play the video or I could talk about it forever. This isn't the show lip sync because you couldn't find it. You can't get a full video. So this is Sasha doing the revised version on her tour. Looking stunning.
Oh my goodness. That jumpsuit, oh my God. Wow.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
She's just, for me, she's just the perfect example of a queen that's so well put together. Her makeup, yeah, her looks, her the idea behind what she's doing, everything's thought out. And she was very intellectual on the show.
Yeah.
Everything she did, everything she brought was... You clearly could see why she was the winner.
Yeah.
And looking back, I think she was the rightful winner.
Absolutely, absolutely. So. And you know, spoiler alert. Shay also got their moment as well.
They did.
So, happy endings for all drag.
Honestly. And yeah. The thing with Drag Race, being the winner's not actually the best thing all the time because you don't get to come back and do All Stars. And let's face it, some of the best people have come back and done All Stars and it's rocketed the career even further. Trixie Mattel, Alaska, Katia... Alyssa Edwards.
Oh my goodness.
Sonique. Sonique was a classic example. Was Sonique in season two?
And they placed seventh, eighth?
Like really, really low in the grand scheme of it. But actually, there's a kind of a thing in the Drag Race fandom where people don't watch before season four. That was kind of the birth of the show as it is.
Yeah.
Well, kind of is now, but has developed from. Season one, two, and three are a bit grainy. There's a filter over them.
Some Vaseline on
camera lens. Yeah. And so people don't really watch one, two, and three, or were too young in the current fandom. So when Kylie came back, people were like, "Well, who's Kylie Sonique? I don't know that queen. Yeah. Who is she?" And obviously, as a trans performer as well, it was iconic, and she came back. So yeah, not winning doesn't necessarily mean your path is destined for mediocrity,
absolutely,
shall we say.
Yeah.
Now, my second video, because I didn't want to... I was talking to Alicia about this earlier. I didn't want to just show a video that was of Drag Race, because that's not what drag is. There's so much more to it. And this is one of my all-time favourite performances from any queen, or I'm not actually sure if Florida Man identifies as a drag queen. Be interesting to look into, but Florida Man is the performer and they're just iconic. And although I don't agree with who wrote the source material for this themed video, She Who Shall Not Be Named,
absolutely not,
but it is a performance of He Who Shall Not Be Named in the most iconic way ever, so I'm going to shut up and play.
I think I've seen this one.
Ariana Grande. Dangerous woman. Don't need permission, made my decision to test my limits. Cause it's my business. I just love how the crowd
goes.
They've
got some good
camera angles. Yeah.
Multi angle as well.
That's so good, actually.
Almost burlesque, and the is burlesque.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even notice how much. Oh!
There's the car.
There it is!
I'll pause it there because I could watch the whole thing, but do watch it because there is a moment where Harry Potter comes out, and for any queer people out there, it's I mean, with the makeup, it's a bit grotesque, but it's definitely a fantasy.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll take many...
I've skipped ahead. God,
Danny's there. She's like, give it to
me. I'm there.
There's a bit of Voldemort and Harry tongue action. Saucy. But,
And the fire. Wow.
Yeah, the lighting. And that's another thing Sasha Velour is actually really good at. The technical aspect of it and making lighting shows and things like that. So, yeah, those are my videos. Those are our videos.
Well done. Very good videos. Brilliant. I will let you off for the fact that you had two.
Oh.
You're very kind.
And welcome back to our final section. We always end up here dead quick. I know I say it every week, but my gosh, time flies. And especially when we're having fun and talking about drag.
Absolutely.
And Alicia, you can lead this because I want to know, what are your biggest influences in drag then?
My biggest influences in drag? Ooh, okay. So, for me, I really get my inspiration from, weirdly, seeing local drag and you know, although Drag Race has provided me with some great ideas and concepts in terms of like, oh, well, okay, I like how they do that. I don't have that money and that is not my style. It's not what Alicia Tried is about. So a lot of it comes from seeing local performers and... a lot of the influencers are normally people who are down. So one of my favourite artists at the moment is a drag artist called Pasty Queen.
Yes, Pasty. Mm-hmm.
Pasty Queen is a drag artist based in London and their name is like what it says on the tin. It's all about pasties. And they actually went viral on TikTok, this performance. They came out as Greg's, like it was bag. A bed sheet with a Greg's logo on it. And they were doing it to Christina Aguilera. and on the moment that the song dropped, they dropped the bedsheet and they were dressed as a sausage roll.
Oh, sausage roll. My straight God. Out of a Greg's bag. It was absolutely incredible. Didn't Pasty open the Greg's in Leicester Square?
They did, yes. Yep. They also got invited by Greg's because it got noticed by Greg's. And they got invited to open up the Leicester Square Greg's, doing the same reveal. As a curfew,
wow.
That was like kind of the biggest thing. I was like, wow, if that is where drag can take you,
sign me up.
Sign me up.
What would if you could be brand paired with any brand, what would you want to be paired with?
Oh gosh, well, I've always wanted this concept, which is I always wanted to do Alicia Tries.
Mm.
And it was always me wanting to try weird and wacky things in drag.
Oh.
So, if you ever see me skydiving out of a plane
in
full drag, question it.
You definitely have to glue the wig down then.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that. Would you tell us, for the listeners that might not know your work, would you tell us a little bit more about Alicia Tried herself? Is that okay?
Yeah, so Alicia Tried's kind of all about chaos. And, you know, the namesake is literally, at least you tried.
It's so funny. I told my mom, so like, Alicia, and I went, so I've met this drag queen called Alicia Tried. And she went, well, I don't get it. And I went, say it out loud, mum. And she went, my mum's from the Black Country, so full on, Alicia Tried. And there was a pause, and she literally went, oh! Oh, that's funny. I was like, she's very good. She's funnier in person, yeah. Too.
So my drag is definitely comedy, not dancing. You won't expect any dancing or live vocals. Although I have been getting a little bit into the live vocal realm.
Please tell us about your rap abilities.
So I was recently in a competition at the Village. I had to create a rap, I had to do live vocals, and that was quite daunting. And for me, that was a way that my drag changed its course for that competition.
You worked so hard for it as well.
I was very comfortable in what I did, and what I did was comedy numbers, a little bit of mess, a little bit of like chaos. Like once I did a performance to a song called Wet, and I had two giant buckets poured over me.
Coconuts
with two coconuts. It was very literal, and I think that's the thing. It was
literally
very on the nose. Everything I did was very on the nose. But doing live vocals was quite daunting. And I now have a performance where it kind of takes back to my roots. It's chavvy and not in a disrespectful way, but in a way that like celebrates the fact that I came from, you know, that kind of low income area. Right. And you know, the songs that I was hearing was like Cascada and H2O Platinum.
Cascada. Why don't we talk about Cascada?
Innit? Where does she go?
I didn't know she was German too. And I heard her on a German talk show. And she was speaking German. And then she just went into, I still hear your voice. And I was like, Queen. Also, great live, great vocalist. I went, do you know what? I can get on board with that.
Absolutely, absolutely. But then those songs are like songs from kind of my teenage years. Mm. And that like the people I'm performing to is of similar age and they're thinking, oh my God, I remember this song. That's amazing. It's just about enticing the crowd. Alicia tries to entertain. That's all I want to do. I just want to make people happy.
Honey, does she ever. I remember, so you gave me my first gig in Birmingham, but I hadn't done anything in Birmingham before then. Mm. I'd obviously, so my drag upbringing, I'm very much not raised in a club. I have done drag as an actor and kind of got into it that way. And I did stuff in Manchester while I was at uni, not as Jasmine Sparks, but in drag. And then you giving me a chance here, and I remember coming in, sitting in one of your shows, and I just felt so welcomed. I felt so safe, and I was just entertained the whole way through.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it, as someone who was terrified, I was like, I don't know where to start. I don't know whether what I'm going to do is good. And I remember sent you, it was the Christmas show, wasn't it?
We did it.
And you went, yeah, you can do three numbers. And I went, oh, three. Okay, I'll do that. And I remember stressing over it so much. And I think I got it into you like weeks before. I was like, here are my tracks, here are my things. And I remember being like, oh my gosh, she's going to think I'm so unprofessional. Like, I've left 2 weeks till the show. And then the week before, you were in the WhatsApp group going, girls, can I have these numbers, please? Because they're still not in.
Honestly.
And everyone else hadn't sent them in, and like, the week of. And
Jasmine was fine. On it, so attentive. as a drag host, as a drag person who books other drag artists, you know you've got to do follow-up texts, follow-up texts. You've got to be
follow-ups. You've got to go to the house, knock a door.
Absolutely. And I tell them, I was like, don't be bringing no USBs on the day. They will not be going into my laptop. You have to send me them. MP3. I've had to YouTube convert numbers for people.
God. Not at the venue.
Nearly at the venue. Oh. The before getting to there. So, yeah.
Horrific. But yeah, that's a really good point to ask. In that vein of things that you've learned, what's the biggest, whether it's good things, bad things, red flags, what are the biggest things you've learned in your time as a drag queen?
The biggest thing I've learned is to be comfortable, to just lean into the performance. You know, in the beginning, I was trying to showcase drag that just I thought people would like, and it just didn't really land. And then I was critiquing, I was like, but this is what people want. Is this what people want? And when I became more authentically me and just leaned into that, that's when my drag grew. Yeah. Because then I wasn't trying to be someone else, and I if I'm comfortable on stage, and this is one thing that every other drag artist, and when I've ever been in competitions, have said, it's like, you just seem so comfortable on stage, and you seem like you're enjoying yourself. And I think that is the one thing that drag artists forget, that to enjoy themselves, you know, they're putting themselves through all this pain and hours of getting into makeup and costumes, and then it becomes a chore to do the performance.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it was becoming for me. And then I said, you know what? No. There was a reason I got into this. It was because it was fun and I wanted it to still be fun. So I just enjoy myself, you know. If I lose a wig, I lose a shoe, that's it. It's part of the performance.
It's just part of it. Part of the show.
The show goes on,
the
darling.
The show goes on. I just grab the mic. Alicia tried. Done.
Goes home, takes the wig off, goes to bed.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's already off, so you know. It's, good.
Yeah. It's on the floor.
It falls straight to the bag for life, and I can just pick it up and take it straight home.
Oh, God.
A bag for life.
Absolutely.
Every queen knows you need a good bag
that
to get to the
need.
Gig.
That is what you need. If you want to get started in drag, you need a bag for life.
Oh, that's so true.
The
number one tip.
Absolutely.
I bought this, I think, it's not. I thought it was behind me, but I bought a bag for travelling when I realised I was doing drag where I wasn't at home, because normally before that I'd been in my bedroom, get ready, go to the gig, done. back home, it's all there. But I needed a travel kit. So I was like, I'm going to have a see-through Primark bag. It's going to be glorious. She's going to have everything in there. She can see it all in the bag so she can get to it really easy.
Absolutely.
She looks important when she's going on the train and it's there for everyone to see. First proper gig of carrying it around for a week in Manchester. Gone.
Gone.
Handles broke. Holes in the bottom. Covered in...
And I thought you were going to say someone took it. It was that good. Someone took it.
Do you think I'd be this calm if all my makeup had gone? Like everything I used, all my palettes, all my brushes, I'd die.
Yeah.
I'd retire is what I'd actually do. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to afford to do it. Like, I've got this collection. How's your makeup collection? Mine's in the hundreds.
Yes. Mine definitely, I kind of, as I was going down, because I was just coming back from a break, had a little short drag break, which I also think is very important to have as well as artists. Yeah. You need those times, and I'm sure it's the same as well as actors.
Hugely, isn't it, Dano?
You need those times where you take that step back and you just live life again. And, you know.
So true.
I am now getting back, so I need to build it back up, but before then, you're talking like 8 different foundations, just in case one day I was like, I'll try this one. Oh no, that didn't work. Powders and just...
Powders, you can never have enough powder.
No. And I always find it, like, it crumbles or it breaks and, like, bits fall. Like, I don't understand how powder gets everywhere.
Everywhere.
I just don't understand.
Yep.
On your face, in your bum crack.
Everywhere.
Isn't it? Like, in the sink, in the toilet. I'm like, I didn't even do my makeup in the toilet. Like, what?
That's actually a good thing before we wrap up. What are the top items that a drag queen needs? I'll start
with a
good wig. Yes. I think a good wig can see you through, because a wig, you can restyle. If it's a good one, you'll be able to restyle it, reshape it, and reuse it time and time again. I mean, you might get called out for it, but if you're on a budget, at least you can do it.
Exactly. A good wig and that one good outfit.
That
one good outfit that you know is going to last you through. You know that zip is staying put and it's not breaking, because that's happened many a time. I've had a bodysuit on and... Yeah, you'd make one wrong turn.
Bit of a hog body after Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm going to throw my shot in and promote Sequin Showstoppers in Birmingham, who I discovered, I can't remember now, a couple of years ago, but that's how I met you through walking in Birmingham Pride Parade last year.
Yeah, last year. It's coming up to a year anniversary.
There we go.
Oh, congrats, guys.
We're going steady. It's fine. We'll see how things go. We might divorce by the end of the week. We don't know yet. No, so Sequin Showstoppers are the only two-floored drag shop in the whole of the UK. Mm-hmm. Ricky and Dean. So Ricky does Sequin Showstoppers. Dean does Hummingbird Heels. They get all the drag race queens in there because everyone performs at the O2 across the street. And they've supplied me with so many things. They're so lovely. And yeah, good quality shizzle.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That's where you'll get your one good outfit.
That is, and I mean, it'll set you back. I'm not saying it's cheap in there, but the quality's good. And it will be your one outfit. And it's just a gay place to be. So if you want just to have a little gay afternoon, go into Sequin Showstoppers. And actually, Danny, our guest at the beginning of the season, Rich Peralta. Yes. So Rich, they went, while we were in Wendy and Peter Pan together, they said to me, Rich, I'm going to do your accent. Where do you get your boots? I love them. And I went, Rich, they're from Sequin Showstoppers and Hummingbird Heels in Birmingham. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to go with my husband and go and get her pair. And sorry, Rich, for the accent, but it needed to be done. And no word of a lie, Rich went down with their partner and they had the best afternoon. And they came back into rehearsals on the Monday and they went, I'm not going to do the accent. Don't worry, Rich.
Please don't.
James, I've had the best time. It was such a queer environment. I felt so safe, so comfortable. And I think that's really important for us as performers in general, to have these safe spaces where
100%
we're recognised and we have our our passions, like, acknowledged and validated. Yeah. I know for you, Danny, yours is your dance.
Yeah.
Whenever you get to do a workshop or a class, I see you led in lockdown, you led these fucking amazing, like, there weren't Zumba classes, but there were like dance classes. I was going to say Zumba. That's
Danny's dance class.
Danny's dance class. But you did. And I remember tuning in and I joined in for one. And then I was doing something so I couldn't do the others, but I tuned in anyway and put you in the background.
It's a bit of Dua Lipa. Everything has to begin with D for some unknown reason. Danny's dictionary, yes. Danny's dance class, Dua Lipa, like everything.
I mean, it's a good job you didn't ask for that in this. We'd have to struggle if we had to find everything beginning with D to start.
Yeah, we really would. We won't go there.
We won't.
So once you've got everything, you've got your makeup, you've got your clothes, how do you get your first gig? How do you even go about that? Your first, like, I guess not even your first paid gig. How does that happen?
You have to connect with other performers and, you know, Instagram and Twitter, these are the good platforms. Now, I mean, when I started doing it, I had to kind of go through friends and just kind of just show up at the club and you know, you'll see they'll post on Sundays, we're doing this, and you can email in. But, you know, when I first started, they're only just doing competitions. Now, there is a lot more scope to kind of have that opportunity to do it, but you have to connect and
get your face out there, isn't it?
Yeah. You'll have a lot of times where you're pretty much every weekend in drag, just connecting, socializing, basically promoting yourself. You have to be your own promoter. You have to advertise yourself, market yourself, and that comes into a lot of it, drag as well.
Essentially, what it would be for actors and for those listeners who are from that world who are listening to this going, oh gosh, imagine doing that. It's exactly the same as us emailing casting directors. Where do we email them? Do they want to be emailed, or do they want a phone call, or do they want a face-to-face? There's so many ifs, ands, or buts, but if you don't try...
Yes.
See what I did there? You've got me on it now.
Absolutely.
If you don't try, then you never know. Like, if you sit at home doing nothing and don't go to that club, don't talk to that queen who's performing, then you're never going to know. If you don't drop the club a message and say, hi, are you looking for queens? Are you looking for a lot of ways queens start? Working the promotion on the doors, don't they?
Yeah,
I know a lot of queens who've got in that way. And it's just not being afraid to put yourself out there. Like with any performing, you've got to have the balls.
Exactly.
To get out and have your moment.
Yeah. And there's places near where I live, and you can sense the when you walk in, like there's a place called the Arch Bar and there's two brewers and they're very infamous in the area. But you go in there and you instantly feel like everyone is accepted. This would be exactly the kind of place that you could go behind the bar and go, excuse me, are you looking for a queen to perform? Like, and I feel like you've just got to do the groundwork, really, and just find those places that you feel like you would want to go to.
I just thought you said do the groundwork.
Do the groundwork! That too.
I love that.
Hashtag do the groundwork.
We're stealing that from
Take
you.
To the bank.
We're going to do the groundwork.
Absolutely. And for a lot of performers as well that may not be in big cities, you know, I'm not originally from Birmingham. Yeah. I come from Derby, which really has a very limited space in terms of those venues. You know, you might find yourself having to go to bigger cities to perform. But, you know, still don't be afraid to just kind of bring that back home.
Yeah.
I feel like that's sometimes what happens. A lot of people, they go and discover themselves in big cities,
and
you know, Manchester, and forget about home.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are queer people who live in those small cities still who maybe can't get to those bigger cities.
Yeah.
And it's good that we maybe bring the drag to them.
Back. And before we finish, because we are fastly approaching the end, what are our final thoughts? Danny, let's go to you first, because as someone who sat listening to two drag queens natter on, what are your final thoughts on drag as a subject?
I feel like That's really hard. We've covered so much ground, not gram.
Yep.
So much ground.
Working the gram.
I think I just really loved what you said, Alicia, about it, you know, coming from yourself, and that there's a real beauty in drag, not just in all the makeup and the clothes and the wigs, but, you know, it really is a form of self-expression, and it's quite, it's just quite beautiful how like freeing it is. And I mean, I love that about drag. And I think what you were saying, James, that's how I relate to it with dancing. Like, dancing makes me feel really free and like my true and authentic self. And, you know, if queens can spread that joy and spread that freedom, then I just think it's brilliant. So
you'd be one that I've just thought this now, you should be auditioning at the Two Brewers. You'd be a great backing dancer.
Absolutely.
You'd absolutely say, bit of a glitter cut crease off. Yes, please.
Oh, yeah. Smoke. Well, at the Arch Bar, they do these movie nights where all the staff perform songs from whatever musical they're showing. And I was sat there like, I'm really jealous. I wouldn't be doing this.
Get in
that's
there.
That's amazing.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing. We'll
have to get you down. You'll have to come along. It's so much fun.
Alicia and Jasmine take a trip.
Yeah, isn't it? Absolutely. Yeah.
I'll
be the backing dancer.
Yes. Babe, we book you. We book you any day.
100%.
And my second thing was, you'd be a great drag king. With your hair. Your hair's just like... So, I've spoke about Danny's hair before. When in our very first episode, I said when she walked into that rehearsal room for the first time, I was smitten with her hair. But oh my God, wouldn't she just make the best king?
Like, absolutely.
A lion's mane.
Do you know, I did have a little foray when I was at school because I dressed up as Fred from Scooby-Doo.
I can see that.
I can
see that. Like, I'm actually in blue
it,
now.
I can get on board with it.
Did the old, like, fringe.
Yeah.
Which is not the best.
You just need an orange
cravat
thing. Yeah.
Or, no, he calls it an ascot, doesn't he?
Oh! Very Fred.
Yeah, Fred's very straight. He definitely married Daphne and stayed with her for life.
Yes.
He didn't have a discovery in later life, did he, Fred?
No.
And on that note, it is time to wrap up. So I'd love to thank one last time Alicia Tried for being
such... Thank you for having me. It's been a
pleasure.
Thank you.
You've been a diva. You've been the moment. You've been an icon, as usual. If you'd like to follow Alicia, if you're not already, where have you been?
What are you doing?
Head to our socials now. You'll see her lovely headshot. You'll see her social details. You can get in touch with her, drop her a message, see where she's performing.
Open all hours.
Oh, don't invite that. You don't want that. I tried to invent a competition. Was it last week or the week before? One of the weeks where...
Last week.
Yeah.
Where you were trying to get people to come and find my coffee shop.
It was an
don't
incentive.
Even.
It was public engagement. It was
this coffee shop, it's closed.
It's like, I did post last week. We did confirm that Danny no longer works there. So you can't find her.
Oh.
Yeah.
We'll do another competition soon. Maybe it'll be a competition to see who comes on next year. Who knows?
Oh, who knows? Oh my God. It's actually happening. Can you believe it?
Oh no. Oh, I'm going to get emotional.
It's the end of season one. We just want to thank you all so much for listening, and we can't wait to see you next year for season two.
As Arnold Schwarzenegger once said, we'll be back.
Yep, that's right. We'll be back in 2023 for season two of Let's Talk. More guests, more wine.
Oh my gosh, please, more Danny's Dictionary Corner.
Abso-bloody-lutely.
A huge final thank you to Alicia Tried and all our fabulous guests this season. We hope you've enjoyed listening along to our little podcast.
We think you're all bloody marvellous, and we'll see you all very, very soon.
Bye! Bye.